So we pray, Heavenly Father, we're very happy to be in this house that you've given us to worship in. We're grateful, Lord, for every move of your Spirit, every insight that you give us, and we are grateful for it, Lord, and cannot praise you enough. We only ask you now that you abide with us here, that you'll feed our souls with the bread of life. You'll break this word to us that we might know the truth which sets us free from sin, from guilt, from fear, from shame, all of those things, Lord, because you are here to do that. We know that literally we are passing from the death of mortality into the life of immortality. We have no doubts about that because we have seen with our eyes the fulfillment of Scripture for this hour. We praise thee and give thee glory in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Now, this morning I want to continue with the study of the rapture as we've been doing for quite some time, and we'll just go over some salient points concerning it and try to fit in some scripture that may be a little difficult to apprehend when we deal with that subject. Now, to begin with, of course, we know the word rapture is not in the Bible. That is, the word rapture itself is not in the Bible. It's an obsolete word. It means a catching away or carrying away. Catching away, carrying away. It's the same thing. And we don't use that anymore. We sing songs about raptures of glory, which signify that people are caught away into a more spiritual realm, which they like to have happen to them in their worship service, their song services. However, the rapture, as we call it, is a major doctrine of the New Testament. And you find it enunciated or set forth or declared here in 1 Thessalonians, the 4th chapter, beginning at verse 13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring forth with him. That's the resurrection. For this we see unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the presence of the Lord shall not take a precedence or a preeminence over them which are asleep. Now here's the verse we want to watch for, 16:17. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Now that's the doctrine of the rapture, which is the catching up or the catching away. Now this no doubt is based upon the promise that Jesus gave to his disciples back in John 14, using the first four verses. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way that you know. Now, very evidently, the rapture here is the beginning of the fulfillment of that promise that says that I will come again and receive you unto myself. And you'll notice that the receiving is up in the atmosphere where the saints rise to literally meet him, to go into the wedding supper, and then literally come back to earth with him. And, of course, from the time of the rapture, there is no cessation of really being with him in his glorified form, and also those ones who died in faith and who live in faith also having glorified forms. Now, we also notice, having found this in 1 Thessalonians, that this promise of the rapture follows after or is subsequent to the first resurrection, and both those that are there living at that time and the dead that come out of the ground, speaking of the bodies that come out of the ground at that time, they are both going to be raised up to meet the Lord in the air. Let's go over that again so we're sure we have it exactly right. Now, Paul speaking in 1 Thessalonians 4:13, right on through again, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope." Now, you'll notice that back here, the church was in error concerning this doctrine. They didn't understand the resurrection. They didn't understand what would happen to the living. They didn't understand what would happen to both of them. They knew a little bit about it. They had some information, but evidently the information that Paul gave originally was twisted and perverted some way, so that he had to come back and correct it. Now, there is a book written to the Thessalonians or the Thessalonians, which we do not have possession of, but evidently is not necessary according to God, because if it was necessary for us, we'd have it. And since this sets in order the understanding of what is necessary, you really don't need the other book. Now, he says here that that concerning the living and the dead. Now, there's something the living need to know concerning themselves and concerning the dead which are going to appear on earth. Now, he says, if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring forth with him. In other words, there is a literal promise to the true believer. That is the believer who has the definitive revelation, who has the truth, who has the reality of Christ. He said God is obligated to bring them forth the same as he brought forth Jesus. And remember, Jesus said, "Handle me and see, a spirit hath not flesh and bone." He didn't say flesh and blood. He said flesh and bone. And again, Paul says in 1 Corinthians, concerning the same subject, "I show you mystery. We shall not all sleep, but will all be changed." Why? Because flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, but it does not say that flesh and bone does not inherit it. And remember that when Jesus was on earth after his resurrection, he was eating honeycomb and bread, and as Brother Branham said, a fish sandwich, because there was bread, there was fish broiled upon the coals. That brings up a peculiar question. What are you going to eat in the millennium? Don't worry. Just get there. Just get there. When I hear about a good restaurant, I don't worry. Well, I sort of worry what I'm going to eat, but the thrill of knowing I'm going to be there and in a good restaurant and having some of their goodies, that's enough. Well, all right, it's the same way here. There is much promise concerning eating and drinking in the millennium. Get there to be a partaker. Go to the wedding supper. Make sure you make it. See? All right. God's going to bring them forth in the same mold that Jesus, which was the Son of God, God's own Son, and who died and rose again. Now, he says in verse 15, "For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord." This is, "Thus saith the Lord, what God himself has said through a prophet, that we which are alive and remain unto the presence of the Lord shall not take a precedence or a preeminence over them which are asleep." In other words, as Brother Branham put it so succinctly, so truly, what does it matter if you die or if you're standing here as long as you make it? See, somebody said, "Well, if I'm standing here, this is something that hasn't ever happened before and never will happen again as far as we know, that a group of people just walking day by day and pounding nails and digging potatoes and eating away and sleeping away, and they're going to be changed into immortality." Well, I say that makes us something special. The most you can say about yourself is this, that you are the very elect and you won't be fooled. Now, let's face it, those that weren't in this position that died, they weren't fooled either. So how smart are you? Forget it. Forget it. Just rejoice in the Lord and be glad if you're part of the election. "The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout." Now watch what this descent is, and remember, this descent is to the living. See, it's to the living. And at the same time, something is going on for the dead. And then it goes on between the living and the dead, which both are immortalized and glorified, and they'll be caught up in the air. Now see what it says. "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout." That word in the Greek, of course, is klousma, which is a military command. Now, let's watch it. Joshua was the military commander in the flesh that was leading Israel over into the promised land But suddenly there stood an angel by him, which was God in the form of an angel. And old Joshua walked over before the possession. He said, "Who are you for? Are you for or against?" He said, "Nay," he said, "it isn't a matter of being for and against." He said, "I am it."
Amen.
He said, "I am the leader of the captain of the host of Israel. I am the great general." And so God himself lets us know here, the Holy Spirit coming down in the form of the Holy Spirit at the end time, that he is the great general, and he is giving the orders. Well, he's got to be the one to give the orders, because he's got to order the dead out of the ground. He's got to order us chains. He's got to order the order gravity to break loose his hold, and he's got to bear us up. That's tremendous. Absolutely fantastic. You see, that's going to happen. The voice of the archangel and the trump of God, the dead in Christ are going to go up ahead of us. Why? Because they go up in their ages. They come out of the ground, age number 7, to be with us. They come out of the ground, age number 6, age number 5, age number 4, age number 3, age number 2, age number 1. Then they reverse to form the pyramid, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, and then we are caught up at the end. And there'll be very, very few in this rapture. They won't even be noticed that they're gone. We're going to learn a lot about this today if we can just make the time for it. All right. We're going to be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. Now you say, "Now just what about that? I thought the Lord's going to descend down here. We're going to meet the Lord in the air." Have you ever read the scripture? The Lord said unto my Lord, "Sit down my right hand." Who's God talking to? The Lord Jesus Christ. Who are we going to meet in the air? The Lord Jesus Christ. Who's going to get us up there? God, form of the Holy Spirit. Remember, Jesus is not God until God incarnates him. We don't have three gods, two gods. We have one God. See, and the Lord said to my Lord, "Sit down my right hand." And he said, "This day," he said, "have I exalted thee. This day do I declare that you are my son." See? And then he mentions the fact, he said, "You love righteousness. Therefore the Lord, even thy God, hath anointed thee above thy fellows." And Paul said, "The God of our Lord Jesus Christ." This is not a mystery here. People just want to make it a mystery. All you got to do is to see the Bible. Once you see the Bible, how the Bible runs in continuity, there's no big problems. The problem lies in the doctrine of man. It lies in the creeds and the dogmas that men have, and they bring out of their churches with them. And then, of course, there's a problem. Wouldn't it be nice if we'd never, ever gone to a church and never, ever had anything to do with all these things around about us? We suddenly had the Bible given to us. Well, you see, I don't know if I understand. Well, understand very simply. When I went to school, they took the galvanic battery, and they had that action, the galvanic action, and they had a little bit of juice flowing through the wire, and they took a dipping needle. And the dipping needle dipped down, and they said, when the dipping needle is down, I can't remember this day which way the juice was going, but you know they taught me 100% opposite. Well, with that kind of teaching, I'm in trouble. What if I'd have got a hold of two hot wires? Forget it. Light up like a neon star to stand there, you know. Sparks going out of you like a cat when you know, electric storm. Forget it. There's a better ways of skinning a cat than that. If I'm the cat, it's basic. No, they had it wrong. Well, a lot of people have a lot of these things wrong. And so they get a couple of gods mixed up in here. And there's not just only one God. And when that spirit takes us up there, and we stand in the presence of that great one, our own brother in the flesh, the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, then that spirit incarnates himself in him and to us. The marriage supper goes on. You know, it's very simple to understand this if you just let your thinking go, as Brother Branham warned us. And we're caught up to meet the Lord in the air. Now, I said that we were looking at the fact that the rapture is subsequent to the resurrection, and that's what it puts here. It tells you he's going to raise the dead, and then there's going to be a rapture. Now, let's look at this raising of the dead and what it comes into when we get up there, after up there, while in Revelation chapter 19. Let's look at that and see where we are in Revelation 19. Now, well, we'll look at verse 7 first, instead of 11. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife has made herself ready. Now, this is a very unique wedding supper, because the bride is not being toasted. It's the groom. You know, I get a kick out of this, and Of course, I like it being, I think I'm a man. Of course, you've got so much stuff out here, God knows anymore what goes on. But I think I belong to the male sex 100%. And I understand all weddings I've seen and all the men sitting here. There's no problem with you either. You go to the wedding and there's a bride that's toasted and the bride is made a lot of. And that's nice, but it's all wrong. It's the groom. And, of course, the bride's arrayed and red and white linen, beautiful, white and clean, and the fine linen is righteous of the saints. And so they're up there at the wedding supper. Now notice, after the wedding supper, what happened? I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. Now see, now listen, watch this one that's faithful and true. That's the designation of this, of the last description of Jesus the Christ to the seventh church age. He is the faithful witness, and he is the true one. He's the amen. He's the true. Now, he's going to come here, and he's going to make war. Now, watch. His eyes a flame of fire. His head has many crowns. He had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. Now, notice his name is called the Word of God. Doesn't say that it is, because his other name somehow supersedes it. But at this time, he's still fulfilling the Word. Okay. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. Now, who's got the linen? The bride. Verse 8. So, all right. This great company that was taken here in resurrection and transported up into the ethereal spaces, up past the atmosphere, or into a dimension that you and I don't know anything about this time or really too much about it, we're up there at the wedding supper, and when it's over, you watch him and us, because we believe we're apart, are coming back. And out of his mouth goes a sharp two-edged sharp sword. With it he's going to smite the nations, rule with the rod of iron. That's to smash asunder, take completely over. He treads the winepress of fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. That's the war itself and that which comes out of it. And he hath on his vesture. Now notice, vesture is not the same as clothing. You say, well, it is. No, it's not. Because vesture stands for an investment. An investment. So, when we crowned him, he became King of Kings and Lord of all, but it is not manifested as to the power of this potentate until this moment. So therefore he is vestured to take complete authority over mankind. And all that has ever pertained to mankind, which is this earth here, and all that, the influences of the universe upon it. All right. Now, we'll read a little further. Well, might as well read into Revelation 20. And I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God, that you meet the flesh of kings and flesh of captains, flesh of mighty men, the flesh of horses, and them that sit on them, the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both great and small. Now, while the bride is at the wedding supper, this is going on down here on earth. The destruction which is upon the earth, wreaking havoc, wherein at one time one-sixth of the population is blotted out, and another time I think it's about a third. And so, therefore, the seas, the oceans, and everything is wreaking with the decaying bodies of men and women that are here during the terrible time of that great tribulation, and then at the end it accelerates as more destruction is wreaked upon mankind for disobedience. We'll go into that. Just follow along. All right. The flesh of mighty men, the flesh of horses, them that sit on them, the flesh of all, both bond and free, both small and great. And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. So you see, this is preceding. What I said has preceded it. And what's going to happen now? And the beast was taken, and with the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that received the mark of the beast, and them that worshipped his image. These things, these both were cast out in the lake of fire, burning with brimstone. and the remnant were slain with the sword and that sat upon the horse, which sword proceeded out of his mouth, and all fowls were filled with their flesh. Now let's watch. And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having a key to the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. He laid hold of the dragon, the old serpent, which is the devil, and Satan bound him 1,000 years. Cast him in the bottomless pit and shut him up, and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more, till the 1,000 years were fulfilled. Now watch the 1,000 years. After that, he must be loosed for a little season. And I saw thrones, and they that sat upon it, judgment given on them, and I saw the souls of them beheaded for the witness of Jesus, for the word of God, which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither received his mark upon their foreheads, or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. I see, there's your 1,000 years. Now, what's doing it? Who's in this? This is the great August company that Jesus brings back here in glorified form. But the rest of the dead live not again until the 1,000 years are finished. This is the first resurrection. So you see, what we're looking at is the fact that this rapture is based upon the resurrection. There has got to be a resurrection unto immortality. There has got to be a change in the living unto immortality. They are caught up, and if there is no resurrection, there will be no rapture. So you see, therefore, the rapture doctrine is a very important doctrine, and we want to look at it. Now, this rapture doctrine, or the very event itself, as we've already looked at it, has been placed in various positions by various students. Number one, there are those that believe it takes place before the Great Tribulation, which we do, we hear. Number two, there are those that believe it takes place after the Great Tribulation and at the beginning of the millennium. They believe you're taken away and then transported in the millennium. Number three, there are those that believe you're taken up during the Great Tribulation. And they believe the Great Tribulation is seven years, and they believe after 3.5, you're caught away before the very desperate part. We understand better here, there's only 3.5 years left. And so you get out of here at the beginning of the 3.5 years Great Tribulation, because that's all that's left. Because already 3.5 years of the 70th week of Daniel has gone by. Now, that's scripture right in the book of Daniel. Now, there are those who believe that the rapture takes place at the end of the millennium. Yep. Now, that's pretty well the four major groups. And however, there are those, that say there is no such thing as a rapture. They deny it. But to deny it is pure ignorance. It's pure ignorance. And it's it's a terrible disrespect for the Scripture, because there's nothing you can do about it. There is going to be a rapture. Now, I don't think there's one church that calls itself by the name of Christ, whether it's Roman Catholic, the Greek Orthodox, whether it's Anglican, Lutheran, Presbyterian. I don't care if they believe in one God, two gods, or three gods. You come face to face with the Scripture that says there is a catching up somewhere, somehow, sometime. But, of course, people disagree as to the actual way it is done and the actual time it is done. Now, concerning the actual time that it is done, that is chronologically in the Scripture, that's what we want to look at. And there is much argument that the saints go through the Great Tribulation. Now, that's where the argument lies with most people. That's either before the tribulation or after the tribulation. Do they go through or do they not? All right. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians 5 and 9. Now, there isn't any student of the Bible but what admits that 1 Thessalonians and 2 Thessalonians absolutely deal with the second coming of Christ. They deal with the return, the rapture, the coming back to the earth. But especially in that facet concerning the time that the church ages have run out, redemption is no longer available. And now it is a time of judgment. It is time of reckoning. Now, they'll admit that, see? All right. This 1 Thessalonians, then, like 2, has to do with the coming. Now, Paul, in the 4th chapter, which I read to you, and continued down to verse 18, he is dealing with the rapture. Now, then, he continues in chapter 5. And remember, chapters in the Bible are made by men. In the original writings, there are no chapters. In the original, there's not even upper and lower case. There's not punctuation. The Hebrew is pictorial. It's a pictograph. The Greek has an alphabet. And you'd say, well, how are you going to interpret it? Well, it's not all that bad. It can be done. On the other hand, God inspires people to know the Word of God. Now, especially prophets. He said, but of the time and seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. Now, he tells them, on the one hand, you don't have to be worried. There's nothing to concern you. It's absolutely an open and a bare case. Some people say open and shut in the sense that you've got the understanding. It's closed now. Nobody can fool with it. You understand it. Anybody? Look at how he puts it. As a thief in the night. Well, you say, man, that gives me something to worry about. Nope. Nope. Not if you're ready. Let's go to Matthew 12 and just take a look at that. Might as well go there now, said later. I'm sorry, Matthew 24. It's Luke 12, but Matthew 24. Verse 43. But know this, if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would have come, he would have watched. And would not have suffered his house to be broken up, and so therefore he was ready. Because it says in verse 44, be ye also ready. For in such an hour as you think not the Son of Man cometh. Now there again it sounds like a complete contradiction. See? But it's not. What he's telling you, well, let's go to Luke 12, is it? Oh, it doesn't really matter, I guess. It's over here somewhere. About the thief, the same idea here, the thief cometh. I'll let that go. I can't put mine right at this point. Got it down here somewhere. But anyway, the idea is, he says the very same thing as two or three places in the Bible, as well as over here, as well as in Peter. And he said, now look, you know perfectly well you don't have any trouble. Who has trouble? The man didn't know the thief was coming. See, that's the only man who had trouble. The man that didn't have trouble was the man that knew something. He knew when the thief was coming. So what he's showing you here is, the Lord coming as a thief in the night is not coming upon a bride in a state of anxiety and fear because she doesn't know. There is no fear and anxiety because she does know. And the preparation is in a knowledge. Amen. Now what does a bride know nobody else knows? Very good question. You see what we're talking about? Thief in the night. The thief in the night is only for those who don't know, who don't expect, who have other ideas and understanding contrary to what is the truth. Now let's get at the truth. We'll take our time on this. If we don't get finished this Sunday, we're not going to get finished for 7 or 8 more Sundays anyway. Let's understand that. There's no way I can finish what I'm into for another month and a half at least. It'd be a whole lot longer if I go away for a little vacation, which I'm all promising myself. And I'm such a... I tell you, I can't keep my promises to myself. I tell somebody else I do not too bad a job. But to myself, I haven't done too good. All right. Now, let me keep reading. For when they shall say peace and safety, we say, no way. Yeah. We say, no way. Then sudden destruction comes on them as a woman travail upon a woman child, and they shall not escape. Now, listen, let's face it. Women pretty well know when the baby's going to be born. Now, I've been hearing recently, though, and seeing in paper quite a few cases where women didn't even know they were going to have babies. One lady was so obese, I just read that recently. She woke up in the morning with the baby in bed with her. That's the truth. Kind of startling, but startling things are going on. Yeah. Shall not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. So therefore, there is nobody can say, if that person is a part of the true membership of the body of Christ, a truly born-again Christian, which is called bride. Now, you got to accept designations that God gives because that's all you can accept. If he said it, that's the way it is. All right. They are not surprised. They know. They are aware. And they are standing there smiling because they know the watch. Now, the day is divided into watches. And the Bible is in church ages. And the seventh age is the only age he can come. And the bride somehow in the seventh age is well aware. She knows that he is coming. And it is no surprise. See? So what's all this talk about no man knows the day and the hour? Who needs it? You know what? You know what? You know why people with money are scared? Because they can lose it. But you can't lose eternal life. You can't lose the genuine revelation. The true elect cannot be deceived. Their lamps are trimmed and burning, and they're ready to go. Now, I kid you not. I give you scripture. You are the children of light and the children of the day. What day? Oh, I'm glad you asked the question. You didn't, but I answered for you. Matthew 24. Now, it says, verse 23, if any shall say, lo, here is Christ, or lo, there, believe it not. There's going to rise false Christs and false prophets and show great signs and wonders, inasmuch as it were possible to deceive the very elect, but they can't deceive them. I told you before, that was in Matthew 7. Therefore, when they say unto you, behold, he's in the desert, don't go for it. In the secret chamber, don't believe it. Why? Here's what it's all about. For as lightning cometh out, that word is not lightning, they zap across the sky, that's light. See? That's Epiphania, what we're talking about. Comes out of the east and shines to the west, so shall also the presence of the Son of Man be. It tells you light. What light? It's dark. The thief comes at night. You mustn't be one of those that's disturbed. You mustn't be fooled. Then what's going to happen? You're going to be told something. Light. You're going to be enlightened on the subject. You're going to know. Now, come on. You just tell me I'm wrong. You just tell me I'm guessing. You tell me the bride sits around guessing. I'm going to tell you you're a liar and the truth is not in you. I don't care who you are. I'm sorry, but I'm a very blunt preacher. See, I don't care what anybody says. If I miss it, there's one reason I don't have light. You say, well, Brother Vail, the whole thing believes in me doing so, and so you're a liar. You're just plain liars, that's all. The truth is not in you. It's not what you do. It's what he does. The same one that said, let there be light, is the one that gives light. Amen. Tell you a little bit weary, you people with your big mouths. You're not trying to shut somebody down and give you the truth. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do. But let us watch and be sober. Be alert. That's what Jesus said, you Pharisees, you can discern the signs of the sky. He said, tonight it says, pretty pink red sky out there. Oh, good day tomorrow. Well, there's overcast that night. Well, let's wait till tomorrow morning. Sky is red. He said, ha-ha, watch it. It's going to be storming the Galilee out there. Now he said, listen, you can discern the face of the sky. Why can't you discern the signs of your times? Why can't you wake up? Those two signs, of course, are Israel. In the homeland, the way the church is going. Now, right here it tells you that you can know something. Starting from the Word of God, you come to the place where you can know. And you don't have to be fooled. You don't have to say, when's it going to take place? How's it take place? You don't have any thoughts anymore in the subject which aren't 100% correct because you've got revelation. You've got illumination. See? I wish I had the tongue of an orator and my mind could stay with my subject and hold you here for 12 solid hours. And weave this whole thing back and forth until you stand and you know you're looking out on resurrection territory, you're looking out on rapture land, you know you're part of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You know you're part of God. You're not fooled anymore about something you think you've done. What has anybody done here except make a complete fool of himself? And the only reason you didn't, because you had your ma or grandpa or somebody watching you. Or the cop in the corner. Now we're getting down to where it is. Not the politician, but the cop. And if you look close enough, you find the cop is like the priest that stood out there in Vietnam. The priest stood by, sticking the Catholics out of the Protestants. That was very nice of him. If you look close at the TV, you know, and you get the films, which some do, you'll find the cop is in there stealing with the rest of the guys. Shee-yee-yee. Thank God for Jesus. Oh, brother, sister, if I'd had my eyes on somebody, and somebody looking out for me except God, I might as well forget it. We are not of light, night, or of darkness. Neither let us sleep, but rather be watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunk in the night. Let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith, and a love, and for helmet, for an helmet the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath. He tells you. And how are you going to be in the great tribulation? How are you going to beat the white throne judgment? How are you going to make the lake of fire? How are you going to do it? God appointed you. You say, well, what happened, Brother Bill? I unappointed. You can unappoint. Oh, come on. Come on, you. Just tell me. Just add a cubit to your stature. Somebody suddenly stand here and grow an inch. Of course, I'll see you swaying on your toes. Don't worry, I'm not stupid. But to obtain salvation, that's deliverance, by our Lord Jesus Christ who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. And this has to do with the rapture. Whether you're dead and going to come out of the ground, or whether you're living. Now what wrath is the living going to escape? Great tribulation. And how are you going to be there? Now listen, let's go to Jude 14, 15. That's a little tiny book before the book of Revelation. Just a few verses. It says, and Enoch also the seventh from Adam prophesied of these, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints to execute judgment upon all, and to convict all of their ungodly, that are ungodly among them, of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed, and all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. Now listen, something has been going on the earth. Something has been going on in the age when the saints are raptured, which is contrary to what the saints have said, which is contrary to the revealed word of God, which has been argued about and fought about, and we're going to come down and eyeball them. Amen. Oh, you say, I'll hold it, Brother Dale. You hold it yourself. I'm right. I'm not just that I'm a preacher. I'm giving you God's word. You do what you want. Which I'm not coming back. I am. I'm coming back to eyeball them. That's why I don't have to worry right now, though I do fuss and stew quite a bit. And I don't have any gloves to take off because I never put them on. It's always barefisted, as far as I'm concerned. It says right here, we're coming with tens of thousands to execute judgment, to show and to prove the word of Almighty God, and to eyeball them. That's right. That's exactly what the scripture says. It says, what are those people? Ungodly with ungodly deeds that they've ungodly committed, and all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. And he's the light. See? I want to tell you, brother, sister, this day in which we live is either the most glorious time of revealed word and light that the world's ever seen, or the word of God lies. If this is not the hour of a group of people having Abraham's faith, the full assurance of faith, then the word of God's a lie. That's right. If God does not reveal the truth of the rapture, the literal time of the coming out of the ground, the raising of the dead, the changing of the saints, and the ascent into glory, if God does not do that sometime, he's a liar. Because he lied in his book. This is the age because Israel's in the homeland. Now people can say what they want. But he said, if you can discern the face of the skies and what's natural, he said, you can discern the times and you can discern the words. He said, they're one and the same. Because it's in there that you can understand them. We haven't even got into much of that. We're going to Luke 21 sometime, show you many things in there by the help of the Lord. All right. Now, these verses that I read here are the abbreviated words that are found in Revelation 19, 11 to 21 that I read. Now let's go just back there for just a second. Now it tells you, heaven opened, him that sat upon the white horse, faithful and true, righteousness to judge and make war. Now notice, judge and make war. In other words, he decrees it's time to come back and do his work of annihilation. Not so much annihilation as much as destruction. The die has been cast. As the judge, the decision was made. As the enforcer. The sovereign enforcer. Because power lies in the state. And no state of itself has power. You go out here, this land doesn't have any power. Couple hundred and 240 million people got no real power. You know where it is? It's the people it's vested in. The kingdom of God is vested in God. So therefore he comes down. And he makes war because power lies in him to make war. His eyes are flame of fire and so on, so on. Now he comes down to smite the nations with the rod of iron. All right, let's go to 2 Thessalonians. That's the same book, as we mentioned, the book's on the coming. The second chapter, beginning at verse 1. We beseech you, brethren, by the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ and by gathering together unto him. Now, when are you going to gather? In the air. So he's laying a premise concerning the rapture, that you be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letters from us, as that day of the Lord is at hand. Now, here's people being scared ahead of time. Isn't it funny that people would sooner have no faith than faith? You know, you get in a rut I'll put it this way. Most of us feel so rotten so much of the time that if we ever feel good for a few hours, we say, what's going on? It's like the guy that was in the roundhouse that he used to sleep all through the noise. The banging and the hammering and the trains whizzing around and all the work going on and the steam whistles, everything going, and he slept like a log. And one day the power fell short and everything became dead silent and he was bolt right up in bed. What happened? What goes on here? See? Now, people, he said, there's no need for you to be in any other frame of mind than knowing this. That you haven't got one thing to do with that hour. There's nothing out there that indicates it. So don't listen to any letters or anybody that comes and tells you something. Forget it. He said, don't let any man deceive you. He said, look, first of all, there's got to come the time of the divorce. The falling away, the word is taken from the word divorce in the Greek. There's got to be a divorce. It's after the divorce the son of perdition is revealed. Well, let's find out about the divorce. How many are going to sit here for 16 hours? Bring your free lunch. Sorry, I'm not going to get anywhere, but it's all right. When it's time to quit, we'll quit. Don't worry. Now listen, about the divorce. The kingdom of heaven shall be likened unto 10 virgins, as Matthew 25:1, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. Yeah. Time for the bridegroom. And they must know it. Something is going on. Now watch, two groups of people get aware of it. Now this is very peculiar. Five wise and five foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps, but took no oil with them. Now you notice they both had containers, but one container didn't have oil. Now you're talking about bridegroom coming, which is the doctrine of the rapture. So therefore he's going to be somewhere in the vicinity. And people are going to be wanting to approach unto him and get to him. But there's one group that doesn't have in their containers oil. Now, what's the container of the rapture? Word! Because that's the only place it is. So somebody has living word. A true revelation. And somebody's got a phony. Now, let's find out. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. That's fine. Paul said they would be too. This is Jesus talking. At midnight a cry was made, "Behold the bridegroom! Come out to meet him!" All the virgins rose and trimmed their lamps, and the foolish said, "Give us your oil!" And our lamps have gone out. Now come on, let's all make it together. And the wise virgin said, "Just a minute, what is your revelation on this, my dear?" Oh, she said, "He's coming at the end of the tribulation." Well, she said, "You don't have any oil, I'm sorry. And I can't give you any." Why? Because the woman started to argue, the church started to argue, and said, "Now just a minute. I want to tell you, Scripture shows that a saint is never taken out of anything. A saint is taken through everything." I can go to Scripture and show you that too. Except I can prove that's wrong by the same Scripture. Because when it came time for Jacob to have his brother slap his face and set him square, God came down and told Esau, "You keep your hands off of him." And old Jacob came down, Esau threw his arms around his neck. He said, "Come on, brother, everything is fine." He said, "Look," he said, "I don't need your camels, I don't need your oxen, I don't need nothing." He said, "God's word prospered me. And I'm not fighting, let's just be brothers." He took the pressure right off. Got him where he belonged. You show me any pressure God put on Israel once he got them out. He brought the pressure on themselves. See, God's not in that kind of business. See? Now look. Your oil, you said, "We haven't got any oil." The wife said, "No, sir. We can't give you any." See, that's compromise. It doesn't matter, you see, if the rapture is at the beginning or the end. It doesn't matter where it comes. Just as long as you say, "Hallelujah, there's a rapture. Hallelujah, my foot." It does matter. And I'm not being sarcastic exactly. I'm not being foolish when I say that either. Or sacrilegious. He said, "I'm not going to give it to you." Tell you what you do. You better go and check again concerning your revelation, because you haven't got a revelation founded upon infallibility, and we've had an infallible prophet. Because Elijah must truly come. How many people running around and saying, "I've got something, I've got something," and old John the Baptist stood there and said, "Ain't got nothing," he said. Why, they said, "That old goat out there in the desert acting like he really knows something." Why? You can tell he knows nothing because his clothes aren't right, his speech isn't right, nothing is right. He doesn't even, well, he won't even come and join us, and he's a Levite. Well, they said, you talk about a turncoat and a traitor to Israel. And old John just stood there chewing on his locust and wild honey. He said, "You bunch of rats." He said, "You vipers." He said, "I know what you're doing. Read them like a book." Now one day he said, "I'm going to tell you something. I'm here to tell you the Messiah is here, and I'm going to point him out." See? Elijah, the Bible said Elijah is going to come before that day to the Gentiles. People don't believe that. They say, I can't believe that. I won't do it. So you see, there's no use arguing, because you can't give a revelation anyway. You can't bring the word of life to life, the word of God to life to anybody. The herald doesn't come to the castle and say, "Look, I've got a word from the king, and I'm going to stand here and explain it." He bangs on the door. They say, "What is it?" "I got a word." Throws the thing over the wall and dashes off. You do what you want, but that's the Bible. You say, "What about that great prophet?" Well, he's the one that's got that scroll to open up and read you what is on there. Tell you what it is. Now, the wife said, "No, not so. Go buy for yourself." And they went to buy. The bridegroom came. Now, while they're going by, they got together and formed a great organization. And they said, "Hey, we'll figure the thing out. We'll all sit down and pool our resources. And where it comes out in the plurality, in the majority, that's what's right. That's all what's wrong." The most successful buyers in the world in stocks are those that go against present trends. One old fellow made money during depression. He made it on hogs. He said, "How'd you do?" "Well," he said, "and everybody's he's selling, I buy. When everybody's buying, I sell." And to eat good in the depression is awful good. I was there. I know what I'm talking about. Forget it. I hate it. Now, while they went to buy, and while all this was going on, gathering around their own understanding, it distinctly said that the bridegroom came. And they that were ready. What was the readiness? Revealed like they had the word full of oil. They had the word revealed to them. And they went in. Now listen. Afterward, the others came, the virgins came and said, "Lord, Lord, open to us."
And he said, I used to know you as my wife, but I don't know you as my wife anymore. During the time of the gathering of the bride to the word, the divorce is going on. And it's the word that makes the divorcement. That lets you know that two deaf and dumb people that marry would never have a divorce. Because they can't talk. It's always the talk gets people in trouble. God talked and man talked back. And that's always been the problem. Man doesn't listen to God. Now listen, I'm going to ask you a question here. At midnight a cry was made, behold the bridegroom. It doesn't say the bridegroom made the cry. Somebody else made the cry. Who made the cry? You want to know who made the cry? Let's go find out. Let's go to Revelation the 18th chapter and verse 4. You'll find exactly what it is. And it says here, and I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that you be not partaker of sins, you receive not of her plagues. Who received the plagues? The foolish virgin received the plagues. Who did not receive the plagues? The wise virgin did not receive the plagues. What was that angel? I saw another mighty messenger come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth is filled with glory. What is that? That's Revelation 10, chapter 1. The great one that came down. And remember, Revelation chapter 10 and 1 has Revelation chapter 10 and 7, which is a mighty messenger, which is a prophet. All right, there it is. Now, you're looking at the divorce. See? Now, let's get back to 2 Thessalonians, because that's where we were when I got not exactly waylaid, but I thought I'd better bring it in. 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter. And here we are. We got to the place of the divorce. Now, of a divorce, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. That's in the tribulation, because the bride's gone. Who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God, or that is worship, so that he is God, sits in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Now, what is God? An object of worship and authority. See? An object of fear. Remember you not when I was with you and I told you these things? Now you know what withholdeth it may be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he that hindereth thee will hinder to be taken out of the way. Now he said it's already started. That was under the seals. The four horses, the white, the red, the black, and the brindle, where they're all poured into one. See? It already started. It went out. John says there's Antichrist among us. They're anointed to error. And they come down through the ages so they reappear. We'll get that in Peter. I haven't got that far yet. Now he said here, then that wicked shall be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy the brightness of his presence. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power, signs, and lying wonders. Now why did I read that? I read it because it's over there in the book of Revelation. The same one on the horse, King of Kings, with a bride, comes down and confronts the enemies upon earth. And there's a destruction. Now people say, hey, I don't know, I like that spirit. Well, I don't either, to tell you the truth. Except there's just one big difference. They're getting confused with what is justice and what isn't. Now look, we can get mad at people and we ourselves will want to have some vengeance wreaked on somebody. What I'm talking about here, we are not mad at anybody. It is the course of justice. A lot of people misunderstand when I talk about the Spirit of the Lord's Day, which is judgment, a judgment and a burning. And they think, wow, old Baal, he gets so mad at folks, he could just chew them up and spit them out and use them for cannon fodder. Not me at all. I wish they'd mind their business. I'd mind mine. But I'm not a very nice fellow. You take a poke at me and you get poked back. I'm sorry. I just was born wrong. You say, well, if you were a saint, that'd be different. Maybe I would. That's my business and God's not yours. Anytime I don't get in my high horse for the word of God, there's something wrong with Lee Vale. Not to hit anybody knows about it, but just stand right here. Paul was set for the defense of the gospel and he died. And I suppose I'm supposed to back down for some meanie mouth that doesn't know spit peas and buttermilk. No way, brother, sister. You're talking to the wrong guy. No, not make anybody fighters, but I'm going to tell you one thing. God's got an army. And you're not like the some of these armies that people make joke of, like Beetle Bailey and some of those. We're not in that kind of an army. So there's a confrontation there. Now, just a note as to why some believe the rapture does not happen until the end of the millennium. Now, I'm placing it right before the millennium, right before the Great Tribulation, laying it right in there according to the understanding which we have been given by vindication, which is Brother Branham. And he had thus said the Lord. Now, why do people not agree? Well, they say, Brother Branham, here's the thing about it. You forget that over here in Peter, there's something else said. So let's go to 2 Peter and find out what's been said. Now, that's the only way to do, go to the Bible. Now, 2 Peter, the 3rd chapter, is where we're going. And in verses 10 to 13, it categorically says, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, the elements shall melt with a fervent heat, the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons we ought to be in all holy conversation as behavior and godness, looking for and hastening unto the presence of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved in the elements, not with a fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and new earth, wherein dwell righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent, that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. And that account the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as Brother Paul, also according to wisdom given him, hath written unto you. And says certain things in his epistles, in which some things are hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do the other scripture, not just this one, but others, to their own destruction. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing that ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with error of the wicked, fall from your steadfastness. What's he talking about? The same thing Paul talked about. And again he says the day of the Lord comes as a thief in the night. But he says over here it doesn't matter because you're ready. What do I care? As mentioned a while ago, I've got to bring my thought all the way through concerning money. People are so scared, you know, concerning worldly goods, but if you had your money really assured unto you, and you knew that the government couldn't fail, you knew nothing could fail, and you sat there with enough money to take you and your family for 16 generations down the road like a Rockefeller, why, somebody come by and say, hey, I'm sorry, but you forgot to pay your delivery bill here. What is it? Well, it's $80,000. There's nothing to it. Write a check. Why? Because you already made $180,000 that day or $5 million in interest. Why, you can't spend the interest. Just because our government spends millions, billions and billions of dollars, people think $1 billion is, oh, nothing to it. Who's got $1 billion here? With interest at 9%, how long would it take you to spend $1 billion at $1,000 a day? Does anybody need more than $1,000 a day? Well, you say today, I need $80,000 and I'm going to buy a car. Fine, buy your $80,000. What are you going to do tomorrow? Well, I won't be spending tomorrow. I'm going to be driving my car for $100 a day. You're not even spending $1,000 a day. How long will that go on? That might go on for a year. So you got 360 days that you haven't spent $80,000 in. And the interest is piling up. See? You got to understand these things here. He said it comes as a thief in the night. But he said, hey, that doesn't bother you. But you see what they say here, and I say, now just a minute. That's not the point. The point we're looking at here is this, that it says the heavens and the earth are going to be dissolved, and we're going to get a new heaven and a new earth. And that's at the end of the millennium. That's true, but he says it twice. So there's two burnings. One where it's surface, and one where it burns down to the ground, as it were. Now let's look at it. It says, the elements shall melt with the fervent heat. The earth also and the works shall be burnt up. Then it says over here, the heavens being on fire be dissolved. The elements burn with the fervent heat. But it says on number two, you look for new heavens and new earth, but on number one, you're not looking for it. So what do you got here? You got here which is actually two raptures. Well, you say, what do you mean by two raptures? I'll tell you, there's nothing to it. We're going to get out of here in the first rapture to miss the Great Tribulation and the consequent judgment of God on this earth when the atomic bombs are falling. That's exactly what we're going to do. And then we're going to come back. See? And what's left, which would be Satan, because an atomic bomb ain't going to get him anyway. We're going to come back and confront him and all those other guys that have their atomic protection. You say, will they have it? Certainly they'll have some protection. We're going to come back amidst the whole thing and take over. Now let's watch this. The second one is where, after the great white throne judgment, that God is going to recreate the heavens and earth. They're going to be dissolved. What happens to us? We'll be caught up again to the throne of God. So what? No big deal. That isn't understanding. It's just people get all muddled up in their thinking. They won't take it. See? They won't. They just don't understand it. Now let's go a little further. When Peter is speaking here concerning the rapture to get us out of the great tribulation, which we will read here, starting with verses 1 to 4. The second epistle, beloved, I now write to you, both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before of the holy prophets, of the commandments of our apostle, of the apostle and our Lord and Savior. Now notice, he's talking about this which is coming, which is wedged in between chapter 2, which I'll explain. Go point by point with you. And he says, this is spoken of by the apostles and by the Lord Jesus Christ. Now he said it. So Jesus was talking in Matthew 24 about his presence. And after the presence, according to Matthew 24 and Luke 17, there would be a rapture. So now let's look at it. Now he says, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lusts, their own desires, their own understanding. They've got together and they said, this is what the Bible says. In the face of what the Bible doesn't say. In the face of a true interpretation, they take their own and they walk in it. Now, if they walk in it, they don't have the blood, because you've got to walk in the light as He is in the light. So, therefore, the blood doesn't apply, but I'll just let that stand for the time being. Now, and saying, where is the promise of His presence? They don't even know what it is. For since the Father's fellowship, all things continue to in the beginning. Now, what are they trying to tell you here? They're trying to tell you that nothing has happened that indicates and vindicates a literal presence. Now, Paul said of those times and seasons, you should know. They don't overtake you. He said, if it's going to come like a thief in the night. Well, come on. You sit there with a shotgun that could blow the head off of an elephant. And you know a man's going to come in your door. Now, I tell you, I think I know some people who would just be nice enough to say when the thief made a little noise, come on in. And when he came in, he'd go out. I'm trying to show you something. When it comes to the thief, and you know something about him, you take precautions. Look at that poor woman. Her story's in the Reader's Digest. She left her window open, and she was phoning on the line. Well, my husband's away for a week, and this man across the street was a rapist. So he veils himself. Now, she didn't know he was coming. She took no protection. From that time on, she's scared to do anything. Now, she'd have been that way in the first place. She might not have been raped. Then again, she might have been. I don't know. But I want to show you something here. An ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. That's not Bible. It might as well be, because it's true. If they had been prepared, if they had been watching. But they said, oh, no, 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 no. There's nothing going on. And Jesus said, you blind, leaders of the blind, you can discern the signs of the times, the skies rather, the earthly things. He said, you can tell something's going on. Why can't you tell what's going on now? Why don't you go to the Bible? Oh, they said, come on, who is this Jesus of Nazareth? Any fool knows that a prophet doesn't come out of Galilee. They're the fools. If they'd have checked his record, he was born in Bethlehem of Judea. He wasn't born in Galilee. You know that. He's only raised in Nazareth. Why didn't they check? They wouldn't check. And now he says here, they're willingly ignorant of this. Now, what is this? We aren't going to have time. I'll maybe get a tiny bit in on it, but I'll just pass it for a second. That by the word of God, the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that was then being overflowed with water perished. Now, he said, learn something from this. Learn something. He's trying to tell them something went on that caused the destruction. What was does it. There's going to be a rapture before a destruction. What's going on? Whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water perished, but the heavens and the earth which are now, by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition, that's destruction of all God of ungodly men. Now he tells you that as it was water, it's going to be fire. And there's two fires. There's two times. Now, beloved, be not in this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. Now, hold it, you got 1,000 years in here. So God's doing everything in thousands. When's the first one coming with fire? 2,000 years later. When's the next one coming? 1,000 years later. So you can see some things happening. Now, what's he talking to the people? But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. That's not for the one after the millennium. No way! It's the one that's coming now. You say, why? Because look, brother, sister, right after the white throne judgment, when Satan's crew rises up, fire comes down out of heaven and destroys them that encamp the beloved city. And after that, they're put in the lake of fire, and God's going to redo the earth. So he melts it all down and rebuilds it. Where are we? Caught up with him. And you know right now that's where the Old Testament bride is. The Old Testament saints that came out of the ground when Jesus came out are right up there with him now. Absolutely. Absolutely. There's no two ways about it. But the Gentile bride will not get there till that time. She won't have a taste of it. And then when God recreates the whole thing and reforms it, so to speak, we'll come on down again, the holy city. We'll check that out and show how it is. Now, not when he said God is not slack concerning promise, some men count slackness, his long suffering to us word, not when any should perish, but all come to repentance. Now, just a minute. At the time the fire dissolves, there isn't any repentance. Because the foolish virgin is in. There's no one left but serpent seed. Come on, that doesn't have a thing to do with repentance. You've got two sets of figures here. We're standing here at the end of the millennium. The holy fire has come down and delivered everybody. Are we going to be surprised that he's going to dissolve the earth? We got a word. We're the only ones standing here. We're going to get it all brand new. What is this? Come on, get your scripture lined up, brother, sister. Get it lined up, that's all. Don't try to pop off because it isn't going to do any good. God doesn't allow that. Now listen. You'll understand this as we begin to read. And we've got 15 minutes. 2 Peter. Now he's telling you in the first chapter we're coming to the rapture, which was in a type in the Mount of Transfiguration in Matthew 17. Then he tells you that something greater and surer and of greater moment than ever is coming. That is this word of prophecy that's made more sure, the light that shines in a dark place, verse 19 of chapter 1, until the day dawn, the day star rising, knowing this first, no prophecy of Scripture, any private interpretation. But prophecy came not in the old time of the will of men, but holy men of God spake as they're moved by the Holy Ghost. Listen, he's telling you flat. When you get to the rapture period, it's going to take a prophet. Amen. He tells you right here. How it came, it's going to be interpreted. Then he tells you. Now watch. But there were false prophets among the people. Jesus said the same thing. They're coming. Anointed to power like Balaam, but off the word. Even there should be false teachers among you, privately bringing down heresies. In other words, they got their own revelation. From the time the prophet comes on the scene, they will tell you no way about the rapture. Tell you no way about the revelation. Denying the Lord that bought them. What is that word, deny? It means to refuse. Just like in Hebrews 6. And brought upon themselves swift destruction. Many shall follow their pernicious ways, bloodless ways. Certainly there's no blood. You get outside the light, where's the blood? You find me where the blood is outside the light. Now, come on. I'm quoting Scripture. John 3, verse 16 to 19. Many follow their bloodless ways by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you. They're getting your money right now. Big missionary programs. How much do they put in their own money? What have you ever asked two people to put in and have them beat you down the road? Now, come on, let's be honest before God. Let's get that flat. I'll challenge anybody living here. You match my percentages. Now, I'm not boasting. I'm just laying her down. I've never taken your money, per se. No way, shape, and form. These guys do. A man sent me some tithe the other day. I found that he bought a bunch of tapes. I sent a check back for the money. He said, it cost $150. I wrote a check, and I said, you must cash this check. He wrote back, and he said, Lee, he said, I was surprised. You're the only man that ever sent me money back. He said, everybody wants to build a kingdom. He said, evidently, but you. I don't take that to be the truth. But I was gratified to know that that man respected me, because I said, that I will not take that money, no way, shape, and form. A lot of money you will take, because I can hate it. There's money I won't take. To make merchandise of people is against the word of Almighty God. Absolutely. They do it. Covetous. Feigned words make merchandise. Feigned words are words that that are hypocritical. Answer, I would never like anybody to call my bluff on certain things, whether I'm hypocrite or not. It's sometimes hard to eat your words. They may be made out of cabbage that got a lot of nettles and briars in. Now listen, to judgment long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbers not. For now listen, now God, now watch what he's saying here. If God spared not the angels of sin, that's way back in the beginning, but cast them down to hell, delivering the chains of darkness, reserved unto judgment. Now watch, that's a bunch of angels then. Now watch number two. Spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world, the ungodly. Now watch, that's there again, that's the second one. Number three, turn the city of Sodom into ashes, overthrew, making an example unto us that we should live godly. Deliver just Lot, vex the filthy conversation of the wicked. For that righteous man dwelling amongst them, in seeing and hearing, vex his righteous over him day to day. And the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation, and reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment and be punished. Now notice, he delivers them out of it. Doesn't take them through, delivers them out. Yes, sir. You show me where good old Noah went through it. He went over it. You show me where Lot went through it. He came out of it. You can't do it. But chiefly them that walk after flesh and lust of uncleanness, despise government. They're Laodicean. Presumptuous are they, self-willed, not afraid to speak evil of dignities, whereas angels which are greater in power and might bring not railing accusation against them before the Lord. But these are brute beasts, made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil against the things they understand not, and shall utterly perish in their own corruption. Now notice what it said. They're just brute beasts. They speak from instinct and from what they've gone through. They don't speak from a revelation. They don't understand. They'll utterly perish in their own corruption. What corruption? Speaking the things that are wrong. And where's the corruption? In the Word. That's what it is. The Word's corrupted. They won't take what God said. And they'll receive the reward of unrighteousness. That's right. What's the reward of unrighteousness? When you do something in the Bible and you don't know what you're doing. You're trying to worship God apart from a revelation like Cain did. They count it pleasure to write in the daytime. Spots your unblemishes, sporting themselves with their own deceivings while they feast with you. Having eyes full of adultery, they cease not from sin. Beguiling unstable souls, a heart they have exercised with covetous practice, curse the children. You talk about a diatribe. My, you talk about somebody railing against somebody. I'd like to have that against you. Fellas just say, you're just unmeasurable filth. Out. You used to have somebody say this against you, and you say, why don't you just call me a dog and leave it alone? No, he names it right down the line. When he pulls the stops out of the organ, he plays every note. You got to know where you are. Now listen, let's go in here into Scripture, and I want to show you something. Chapter 3 is based upon chapter 2. Now let's watch. I'm going to read the first three verses again. But there were false prophets also amongst the people. That's the time of Moses, coming out of Egypt. Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. There was old Balaam. The whole bunch. Even there should be false teachers among you. So therefore, there will be people who teach, and they teach wrong, and they're in multitudes. For every true teacher, there'll be just literally thousands that don't teach right. They'll bring in damnable heresies, in other words, of their own thinking, their own ideas, when the word has been properly set forth, as Peter said, by a prophet. They'll come and say, well, I don't care what the prophet said, the word says this. Like that fellow I told you about so many times from Europe. He would talk to me, and he said he believed Brother Branham. Like fun he did. He came over here and he told me how Brother Branham was wrong. Now, you know the man's in a great mess in adultery, divorce, and everything else. Come on. The child of God's not in that kind of stuff. No way, shape, and form. You can get married, divorce, and God forgive you, but you as a man of God claim to know something and deliberately step out and do the mess like that. Come on. There's no way to it. Nuh-uh. Now it says, many will follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be spoken of. And through covetousness shall they make feigned words, they with feigned words make merchandise you, whose damnation judgment now is a long time lingereth not, and damnation slumbers not. Now notice in here, verse 4 explains or illustrates from the scripture these very things that Peter says that brings about judgment. Verse 4 is the judgment that fell because something happened. Now let's read verse 4. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell, delivered them to chains of darkness, he reserved unto judgment. Now he tells you that they did something and God judged. And the judgment fell upon the earth. See? Now watch carefully. I'm going to ask you a question. Were there angels that fell in the beginning? Yes. Were there angels that didn't fall? Yes. Who got the judgment? The angels that fell. Did the angels that didn't fall get judgment? No, they got glorification. And they'll never fall. You see what I'm telling you? Now watch carefully again. Verse 5, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world the ungodly. At the time of Noah. Now, what happened in the time of Noah? The earth was hit again. Who got saved? Eight people. Why? Because they got took above it. What happened? The rest died. Is that right? Okay, let's go further. And turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overflow, making them an example unto those that live ungodly, delivered just Lot, that's with the filthy conversation of the righteous. All right. Did Lot and his daughters live? Yes. Who died? His wife and those that stayed there. Everybody died. Now, let's look at it. The Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation and reserve the unjust unto the day of punishment to be punished. And it tells you right there, God is going to get the righteous out. Now remember, when God stood before Abraham in chapter 19 and 18 of the book of Genesis, Abraham said, shall the God of all the earth, the judge of all the earth, not do righteously? He said, shall the wicked, the righteous perish with the wicked? And God said, the righteous will not perish with the wicked. Well, there you are. How then is a bride going to go into a tribulation? How are you going to mix up Peter here? Look, I got reams of notes on that. I'm not going to bother them. Verse 5 follows verse 3. Verse 6 follows verse 3 right on down. Then he says here about angels. And then he tells you what these people are like. They're just brute beasts. Eyes full of adultery. Now listen, verse 15. They've gone away. They've forsaken the right way. What do you mean forsake the right way? You can't forsake a thing unless you have it. Now watch. Gone the way of Balaam, he was a prophet. But I'm going to tell you, with Balaam there was a true prophet and a greater prophet. His name was Moses. You think Balaam would listen to Moses? No. You think these prophets out here listen to William Branham? No. Do you think the teachers listen to William Branham? No. Do the pastors listen? No. The evangelists listen? No. The apostles listen? No. They say no. Now listen, before you can forsake a child, you've got to have a child to forsake. Before you can forsake a mother and father, they've got to be living. When they're dead, you don't forsake them, they forsook you. They're gone. In other words, to forsake means that you leave something. Your loyalty, it's gone. Now these have forsaken the right way. And they've gone after Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. They put money ahead of truth. Now listen, that's easy to do if you want money. Was rebuked with voice of iniquity, the dumb man speaking with the voice, and forbade the prophet's madness. Their wells without water, their words are vain. They promise liberty, but they're servants of corruption. For of whom man is overcome, the same is brought in bondage. After they escape the pollution of the world to the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, again entangled therein, overcome, the latter end is worse than the beginning. Now just a minute there. He's talking about the end time and the rapture. So therefore they forsake the former reign teaching, which is the original word of God revealed. Now it tells you right here when they do it, there's no way out. Their end is worse than the beginning. They profess the salvation. It looks like they got something. Their lives are more cleaned up. Everything looks great, but there's something wrong. And it says it happened as a true proverb. The dog went to his vomit. The sow went to the wallowing. Now he said, brothers and sisters, I write this epistle to stir up your mind concerning the present. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. The very presence we saw upon Mount Transfiguration, which was him and is glorified, there's coming a day according to prophecy. There is a greater fulfillment than in that hour. What is that fulfillment? Very simple. Anybody knows it. Behold, I send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord, and he'll turn the hearts of the children back to the fathers, lest they come and smite the earth with a curse. Before the great tribulation comes in the presence of God in the form of the Holy Spirit and a prophet standing there. And he said, I'll take and prove the whole thing laid out before you. And the prophet will have the fantastic ministry to corroborate his right to teach the word of Almighty God. People will stand by and they'll say, yes, he's a prophet. Hallelujah. But I'm a prophet too. And those prophets will raise up men to teach and go around the world teaching for them. But the word of God goes into a decline as far as the popularity of the word is concerned, and as far as the far-reaching power of the word is concerned, it goes into a decline. And few there be that find the narrow gate in the straight way. Few there be that see him unveiled. Few there be that understand the presence. Few there be that understand at this moment when God speaks as he sent Moses down to Egypt. The Israelites were already into Exodus, whether they knew it or not. You say, how, Brother Dale? Listen, Hammond, you've got to have more brains than that to ask that question. That was my question. When God gives his word, brother, sister, there's nothing going to stop it.
Amen.
The prophet said, when God said, let there be light, there had to be light. When God sent Moses, I don't care if it had taken 2,000 years, but it didn't. It had got him out. We've had a word for 2,000 years concerning what we're into now. Here's another word for 1,000 years down the road. We're in the 1,000, you're in the 2,000 year gap at this very moment. We've seen the hand of God.
Amen.
We've seen the absolute vindication of God establishing his own word. And he said they're going to walk away from it. But he said, you're not of that bunch. He said, you're going to walk right into it. Brother, sister, I want to just tell you again, far as I'm concerned, the rapture is going on.
Amen.
It's already started. People can do what they want. You say they're going to laugh at you. They're laughing right now. They're going to fight you. They're doing it right now. What do I care?
That's right.
He said, what are you going to do? I'm going to stand right back with the word of God and see it's going on. Amen. And I'm going with it. That's it. Let's rise. Heavenly Father, we're very grateful to you and your goodness and mercy, your kindness, O God. Did you give us opportunity to come together to establish our hearts in the faith, which is the true revealed word, Lord, which we know we have not of ourselves, because not one of us would ever dare to say the things we say and believe in this place, except it was already said by somebody else, and that somebody else, Lord, we know had a great ministry of vindication, which was according to your word, a prophetic office. We thank you for it, Lord. We don't thank you for ourselves. We thank you, Lord, for you and for your word. And it is wonderful to know that you and your word cannot be separated, that you are here fulfilling your word. Because that word is the outflowing of you yourself, which, so though some people call so erroneously universal mind, it is not that. But we know that your mind, in there, being spirit, you conceived all of this thing, and being omnipotent, you're able to bring it to pass. We thank you for these things, Lord. We surely do. Now, Heavenly Father, we just pray that there's not one of us here in this building is going to miss it. Not one Lord. We know that at that midnight hour that there was an awakening call. And we know that. We know this is the hour for people to be awake. And Lord, we don't care if they wake up within 1 minute of the rapture, as long as it's not 1 minute after. That's the thing we're looking at, Lord. Not 1 minute after the time of the Word of God gives out. Because we know that one day the door's got to be shut. And it's going to be too late to say, well, you know, there was a prophet in the land. We know that. Recognition will come too late. Perhaps not too late to save people at the white throne where they can come into eternal life and then reside outside the holy city and yet be a part of the great economy of God. We realize that's possible too, Lord. But we're praying today and believing because the ministry here is to get a bride out. To get her out not because we're going to do it, but to proclaim the King is here, to proclaim the Judge is here, to proclaim He is here, the great God. The Great One is here to establish righteousness in the earth, and He's doing it first by establishing a bride to get her out and to bring her back. Lord, we thank You for all of this. We just now ask You for health and strength for each one in divine presence. May there not be any sick one amongst us, Lord, but may health and strength be granted to all. Oh, God, set us on fire with the truth. That's it. Because we know that's what's going to count. Because if that word comes out of your mouth and can overcome everything and anything, and that same word that destroys and overcomes everything is that same word that brings everything into creation, then, Lord God in heaven, it's easy to see how that You can tear down and make alive and bring back. And You can do the same with us. That same word, Lord, can bring us right down to the place where we're nothing within ourselves, which is the truth. And then bring us right to that place where we're everything in You. And that's what we look at. So we look at You, so Lord, we commend ourselves to You most heartily. Bless each one now, Lord. Give us strength, journey, mercies, all those things that are necessary. And keep our hearts and minds fixed upon You. And we praise God that You're doing it. We thank You for it. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Now God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son. Whosoever believeth in Him should not perish everlasting life. That's true, He did give Him. But at the end time, He's done more than that. Before He gives Him back, He gives Him back to us. In the physical form which He is in, which is glorified, and we're with Him. It's wonderful to know that He came down, is standing in our midst here, present amongst us, in the form of the Holy Spirit. At that time, clothed in the pillar of fire, which was caught supernatural photograph, caught many times.